Saints Day, everybody, and now it's time to party like a monk. You're listening to the Beer Coasters Podcast, the number one self-absorbed beer show from coast to coast and every once in a while in between.
Hey, I'm Dylan, brewer at Cape Ann Brewery, and you're listening to the Beer Coasters.
My name is Charles Finkel, and I'm the founder and the president of the Pike Brewing Company here in Seattle. I'm glad to be on the Beer Coasters.
Blah, 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 I'm off a beer, damn it!
Were you in Da Nang?
Well, hello there. Yeah. Welcome to the Beer Coasters Podcast, Season 5, an entirely self-absorbed beer show devoted to bringing you the best and worst in mostly American craft beer from coast to coast. And every once in a while, in between. I'm your host this week, Mike from Boston. And guess who's with me this week?
It's Crazy Dave from Temecula, California.
And it's Toby in Las Vegas, Nevada.
Well, how y'all doing?
Pretty good.
That's a traditional Boston greeting, by the way. How y'all doing?
How y'all doing? How are y'all?
This is All Saints Day. This is the All Saints Day show. At least when this show will be released, it will be All Saints Day, November 1st, I believe,
something like that. Hey, I'm totally leaving it up to you, Mike. This was your gig, so I'm like, oh, All Saints Day, it must be November 1st.
Yeah, we could have.
Mike wouldn't have done it.
We could have also done like a Dia de los Muertos and done like, you know. Like,
oh yeah, maybe next year.
maybe.
So El Dia de los
needless
Muertos.
To say, we have a few Saint beers. Dave, what's your Saint beer?
I have a Saint Archer Pale Ale.
Oh, how about you, Toby? What's your Saint beer?
I have Pike Brewing's Monk's Uncle, who, by the way, was a saint.
All right.
But you didn't know that. I'll talk more about that when I do my tasting flight.
Yeah, we'll have a little monk/saint talk soon.
Yeah.
And I'm going to try. I still couldn't decide, but it was going to be between Saint Somewhere and Hebrew. I went with the Hebrew Saint Lenny. It's a collaboration beer. I'll talk a little bit more about that in my tasting flight.
Who's Lenny?
I'll talk about it in my tasting flight.
All right. Is that like Denny's?
Nope. Not like Denny's.
I think Mike should do both of those beers since he's the host this week and we don't have a fermentation conversation. And Mike's a little upset that he didn't get a pre-show beer. I think he should do both beers, in my opinion.
Maybe I will. Yeah. All right. Well, we'll see how the show goes. I may do an extra bonus tasting this
week.
We'll
be on the edge of our seats.
If I feel so inspired. Although one of those beers is a 750 mil, and it's neither one of them, I don't think, are too low on the alcohol percentage.
St. Lenny's probably pretty high, right?
St. Lenny's 10.
How about my St. Archer?
Somewhere is. I don't know. You want to drink your St. Archer?
I guess that's what he's hinting at.
All right. Well.
Well, listen up, baby. It's time for Crazy Dave to drink some beer. Watch out now, baby bubba.
Well, what's up, everyone? This is Crazy Dave out of Temecula, California. Whoa. And this week I am...
Just like that.
Just like that.
Bam, we're back.
Hey, we're into this.
Dave's ready to drink.
Well, this week I'm drinking the brewery called St. Archer. They're out of San Diego, California.
New brewery!
Here we go. St. Archer Brewery was founded on a unique strain of creative talent, world-class brewers. Yiga Miyashiro is the director of brewing operations. He's got all kinds of medals and stuff that he's bringing to St. Archer. And then also...
He's got medals and stuff.
Yeah, he owns a steel yard and he's...
And Kim Lutz is the head brewery. She came from the winery of J. Laura Bassarobles, and then also was the lead brewer at Maui Brewing Company and is now working for St. Archer. So,
wow, check that out.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Got some credentials.
They got some brew cred.
Yeah. So anyhow, this is their pale ale. Again, they're out of San Diego, California. Their website's www.starcherbrewery.com.
Knows how to party. But where's Yiga from?
Well, the top young brewers in the county, Yeager brings numerous beer festival medals and award-winning beer recipes to St. Archer, from dedicated home brewer to head of brewery operations. Just a home brewer. Anyhow.
Okay.
Just a home brewer. How dare you. I think they all started out as home brewers.
Sure.
I should hope so.
I don't think anybody sat down and said, hey, I'm going to go pro right now.
Well, this actually poured out really light. It's like a really, like, it's like a wheat colored, actually, like a gold. It's gold. And that's really what this is, a gold ale. When I'm thinking of a pale ale, I'm usually thinking something a little bit more red or a little bit darker. But this is like a, I don't know, it's best described just as gold. It's got a pretty good head on it. I got a good Yeti finger ahead or so. Let me finish pouring the rest of this out here. Nice and nice frothy head. Carbonations, it's fizzling, but the head has seemed to be hanging out for a while. On the nose, it's really piney. Yeah, I just get trees, like forests of pine trees.
So this is the regular one, right? This isn't the unfiltered one?
No, they have an unfiltered?
Yeah, Untappd has an unfiltered pale ale from St. Archer, as well as the other.
No, this is just this.
That looks pretty filtered.
Yeah, it's clear. It's gold. It's just gold and clear. So, I mean, you can see my face through the glass.
Yeah.
See your face through the glass.
It's got a little bit of a sweetness on the nose, too. Like a... kind of like
sweet,
a...
sweet, piney goodness?
Yeah, it's like, is it it's, bushy? It's like a sweet... No, it's not bushy. It's not very hoppy like that. I mean, like the only hoppy that you get are the piney notes. But it's got pineapple. It's got a pineapple.
The mysterious hop bush. Tropical. All the rest of the hops grow on the vines, but there is a particular hop that grows on a bush.
is this hop bush? Is it a singing hop bush?
Yeah.
I don't know. It might burn though. Yeah, it's got this beer's got some nice tropical notes to it too.
Taking a sip.
That's got quite a bit of hop. That's quite a bit of hop forwardness on that. It's definitely got that pininess. Just really, really hits you. Definitely a Southern California style, you know, pale. I would, you know, if I didn't know any better, I wouldn't have called this a pale. I would have called
it was an IPA.
I would have guessed it was an IPA.
San Diego pale ale.
Oh, yeah.
Well, I guess I should mention that the malts in this are Crystal and Munich, and the hops are Cascade, Chinook, and Simcoe. You know.
There you go.
Yeah.
What's your 40 IBUs.
40 IBUs, 5.2 ABV. I'm wondering if this just didn't get bottled wrong. Because
it's not. I mean, with the bitterness you said right up front, it seemed like that'd be more than 40 IBUs.
Yeah. I'm wondering what their IPA would be like, you know, then if
and they do have an IPA.
Well, that's what I'm looking at right now here. No, I don't want, they have a video now on their website. Let's see here.
Yeah, they have an IPA and a blonde.
Yeah,
the blonde is, you know, just like a Kolsch style.
Well, their IPA, yeah, I'd be interesting to try it. Well, in the bottle that says balanced toward the hoppy end of the spectrum, this straightforward California-style pale is eminently sessionable. Crystal Munich malts provide a backbone to the showcase of the bright citrus piney notes of Cascade, Chinook, and Simcoe hops. It definitely is hoppy. God, I'm thinking grilled chicken sandwich with this, which I think would be pretty good.
All right.
With maybe some guacamole.
Yeah, dude. Nailed that, man. Guacamole chicken sandwich.
Guacamole?
I'm sure you could probably whack a few moles while you're, you know, playing that at Chuck E. Cheese and drinking this.
Yeah, sure. Go to Chuck E. Cheese, have yourself a pint of the St. Archer Pale Ale, whack-a-mole, you know.
Yeah.
Have it with the grilled chicken sandwich with guacamole.
Well, the Untappd ratings come in at 3.47 out of 1,061 ratings. Top three places to drink this beer are the St. Archer Brewing Company in San Diego, California, Jimmy's Famous American Tavern, also in San Diego, and and the Beach House Tacos in Ventura, California.
I want to go to Jimmy's Famous American Tavern.
Hey, thanks for listening to the Beer Coasters podcast, and don't forget to support your local brewery, your local beer pubs, your local beer bars, and your local home brewers, etc. Drink local, because local's fresh. Oh!
And now out west, it's time for Toby to drink some beer. Let's hear what he has to say about it, shall we?
Piggity, piggity, pog, piggity, piggity, pog, piggity, pog, piggity, pog, piggity, 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 podcast.
Yeah. Right. All right, so this is Toby out west, and for my Saint beer, I am drinking Pike Brewing's Monk's Uncle. No, it does not have Saint in the name.
No,
but
it actually doesn't even have a monk on the label. It has a monkey.
It has a monkey.
It's just a monk. It's a monk's uncle. Like, really, what is that? You know, like, is that the guy that molested him that decided that he was going to go into like the monastery?
So not only is the beer's not named a saint, it's actually just, you know, and you could argue that a monk may be a saint, but you can't argue that the monk's uncle is a saint.
Yes.
but he made some beer.
The monk's uncle is a saint, I think. So anyway.
Okay.
The monk's uncle is from Pike Brewing Company out of Seattle, Washington. They've been brewing since 1989. Their website is pikebrewing.com. The style of monk's uncle is a Belgian triple.
Whoa.
And it comes in at 9% ABV with 34 IBUs.
Now, you are a triple fan, right?
I like of the you know, Abbey's triples and quads, triples are my favorite.
Yeah.
It's one of my favorite styles up there with, you know, the Belgian IPA and the whatever. But yeah, I do dig on some triples.
I do dig on triple.
The malts are organic pale, organic pills, wheat, and aromatic. It also uses organic sugar. The hops are Nugget and Saaz, and it uses a Belgian ale yeast Kraken it. Nice straw-like color. It's a little cloudy, but that might be a chill haze. I've got this pretty cold right now.
Are they right in Seattle? Or are they out of Seattle?
Yeah, no, they're right there in Pike's Place.
Oh, like that place where they throw the fish?
Right underneath it, basically, yeah.
Okay.
Or right next door. It's the Pike Brewing is about three levels high. So you have the basement where they keep all the ingredients and stuff, and they have their fermentation. They actually have like a fermentation closet type room where it's all temperature controlled and whatever, where they do a lot of their bottle aging, and their bottling and stuff is all in the basement. Then you go up on the ground level. Actually, I think it's one level below street level, because you know Seattle's all on the hillside, and it's pretty cool. You have the restaurant, and which is like two levels high, and the brewery is basically in the middle of the restaurant, and it goes, you know, they don't use any pumps, so all the ingredients are brought up by like a pulley system from the basement up into the brew kettles, and then they brew it, and then it all kind of filters down.
So
into
they actually use like a gravity feed,
yeah,
because they have
old
three
school
levels.
Style. Yeah, so they awesome. Basically use gravity,
love it,
and a pulley system in order to do their whole brewery operation, and it's pretty cool.
Sounds like a lot of work.
When I took the tour when I was up there a couple years back, and I actually had, which you can listen back on our I think it was our Pike's Peaks and Pints.
Pike's Peaks and Pints, yeah, back October 15th, 2010.
Yeah, I did a walkthrough tour with Charles Finkel, the owner. And it's pretty cool. It's a really cool little operation they've got there. So anyways, yeah, it pours out a nice golden kind of straw color. There's a little bit of orange in there. I started off with about a human finger of head. Now I'm down to about a half finger of head.
The human finger.
On the nose. A little bit of the banana, some bubble gum. Nice sticky stank.
Sticky stank.
You get Pike out there, Mike?
Yes, I think I do.
Yeah, it's the first time I've had this one. So I'm curious to see how well Pike does a Belgian style. Because they seem to be pretty traditional. They're more of Rheinheitsgebot type brewery, although they are now starting to do a little bit more of adjuncts and stuff in their beers. But so yeah, that's pretty much all I'm getting. Get a little bit of that funk in there, get some bubblegum, a little bit of clove, some banana. Very typical Belgian nose. I'm taking
the Belgian nose. The Belgian's nose knows.
Taking a sip. Yeah.
Ooh, there's a nice bitterness. You get your... It's weird. It's almost like a rustic, grainy bitterness. And not so much a hop bitterness.
Uh-huh. I would think with triples you get that kind of residual sweetness sometimes. A high alcohol. What did you say the ABV was?
This is 9%. Oh, yeah. There's some grassiness. Some of that clove is coming through on the taste. A little bit of the bubble gum. Yeah, and the aftertaste, it's a little astringent, and you still kind of get a little bit of that sweetness in the aftertaste. Nice and dry. Yeah, that's really good. It has in the initial sip, there's this, a little bit of a thickness on the middle of the tongue. Yeah, that's good. Did I say there was wheat malt in here? Yeah.
Wheat malt?
It gives it a nice touch, I think, with the wheat malt in there, because it does give it a sort of a, almost like a, I don't want to say gummy, but like a doughy.
Yeah. Yeah, that kind of a smooth. Between that and a Belgian yeast, I would think it'd be really kind of, sourdoughy.
Yeah, kind of, yeah. But in the first sips I was getting, this kind of rustic was like the first thing that popped in my head. And not so much like farmhouse, that type of rusticness, but it's almost like, I don't know, like a rye bread type, a slight. Yeah,
like some kind of
spice.
Whole grain.
Yeah, kind of, yeah.
Like with all the little nuggets and stuff that are in the little bread.
Yeah.
It's like you always wonder, yeah. Like, are these bugs or they're just like, yeah. Yeah. Grains
picking,
or something.
Picking your teeth 3 hours later.
Yeah. For a food pairing, I think this would go well with maybe something gamey or maybe even something like lamb or something like that. Something delicate but with good flavors, big flavors, but yet a delicate dish, so maybe something gamey or something like that. I wouldn't really go with like a big,
maybe
robust
like a fish?
Steak or anything. Maybe like, fish. Yeah.
I think some of the more,
but I could see enjoying this at like a nice place, with a nice meal and like a fancy meal, something like that.
It's fancy.
Very nice. Or even something herby, something really herby, like some sort of herb chicken dish or herbed lamb or duck or something like that, maybe.
You know what? It sounds like a strange pairing, but I've always heard that Belgian triples, you can go with some Italian food too, because it pairs well with like basil and...
Yeah. Rosemary.
You know what I'm thinking then? Maybe some sort of like a seafood, like clams, linguine, or maybe even throw a little bit of Portuguese style in there. Put some linguiça with clams and some orzo pasta. Yeah, maybe. I don't know.
Some seafood pasta, that might work. Any one of those I think would be great.
Cool.
For ratings on Untappd. This comes in at a 3.59 out of 1,857 ratings. And the top three places to drink this is the Pike Brewing Company in Seattle, Washington, the Airways Brewing Beer and Bistro in Kent, Washington, and the Luna Lounge in Pomona, Diamond Bar, California.
Diamond Bar.
Yeah. So there it is, Pike Brewing's Monk's Uncle for this All Saints Day show.
Saints Day. Cheating a little bit.
Cheating on the monks, Saints Day.
Pause. Pause.
All right, I'm pausing. We'll be back right after this.
Aces and Ales, Las Vegas's premier craft beer destination. With 22 beers on tap and over 80 rare bottles, you can even get growler fills. Go to beercoasterspodcast.com, click on the Aces and Ales logo, and print out your free draft beer voucher. That's Aces and Ales, now with two locations. Visit acesandales.com for more information. All killer, no filler.
Beer drinkers of the world, it's now time to check the headlines at the Beer Coasters Daily.
Howdy. Howdy, boys and girls. This is Gina from Craft Beer Hound, here to bring you a little bit of beer news. This week we found a story, I found it on CNBC, it's kind of being tweeted about a lot right now. The article is entitled, Craft Beer Cashes Out. And they are talking about Boulevard Brewing, based out of Kansas City, was just purchased by or sold to Duvel, a Belgian brewery that most of us should know. They've been around for a really, really long time. And so they're kind of looking at what craft brewers are doing as they're kind of aging. Many of them started their breweries when they were 30 or in their 30s, and now they're 30-year-old breweries. So, for instance, John McDonald, the founder of Boulevard Brewing. He just sold his brewery. He's 60 years old. He's looking to do something else. He obviously didn't have any children that wanted to continue the business. And so he sold his brewery for $100
million. $100
million.
Bam. Talk about a payday, man.
Bam.
Not bad for 30 years work, eh?
You think about that, that's $3 million a year plus the profits he's already made.
Right. Yeah, not bad, not bad. So anyways, there are a lot of people saying, that he's in the wrong for selling to a out-of-the-country business and, that's not what should happen. They obviously think there's a better way to do it. And these are just kind of naysayers, people, in the Kansas City area who are just upset about it.
They're just a bunch of hipsters that,
I think he could have adopted me. I would have took the brewery over.
Right?
Passed it right down to me.
So they interviewed a couple of other... What's that?
Go ahead and finish. I have thoughts.
Dave was just doing a seal impression.
So they interviewed a couple of other micro brew owners like Dogfish Head's... the founder of Dogfish Head, Sam Calagione. Who he says, well, at least Duvel's a good company who puts the beer before the business, beer first, business second. And so he feels like in his particular situation, he wants to keep it family owned until his children can decide if they want to take it over or not. And if they don't, to at least have somebody who's going to put the beer first, that's a good thing. And so he's always pretty positive in his remarks, though. So he's a pretty likable guy.
Very little negative to say about anybody or anything.
Yeah. I mean,
now they own Omegang as well, right? I mean, and that's a New York.
Omegang has a brewery in Belgium that is owned by Duvel. I don't think Duvel owns the brewery that's in New York. I think that they kind of co-own the brewery Belgium, but I don't think the Duvel has anything, or the Belgian brewery has anything to do with the one in the States. I think.
I don't know. They did mention Omegang in the article as, being somebody who does really like aged and kind of bigger deal beers, and how that would bode well for Boulevard's one of their big series is the Smokestack series.
Smokestack series.
You know, that kind of went right along with what they were doing. So that worked out. Anyways, one of the things that I thought was interesting was they talk a little bit about like Leinenkugel and how they sold out to MillerCoors. And then they also talked about New Belgium, who I didn't know this, but the CEO and co-founder, Kim Jordan of New Belgium, just sold the last controlling stake to their company's employee-owned, you know, however they split that up. I don't know if it's like a trust of some kind, but
that's actually the segue to what I was going to kind of mention. You know, like I think as business owners, you know, they do have a right to have some sort of an exit strategy. It's just a matter of, you know, how they choose to do that. You know, these people did develop a business and, you know, it is worth something, and maybe they just don't want to die and then, you know, have it go off to someone else that'll either run it into the ground or do something else with it. So, I mean, they can, you know, like I said, like in this case, you know, sell it to Duvel or sell it to, you know, some of the other bigger breweries. Or they can do like what you just mentioned, you know, where they can, you know, release it to, you know, to be an employee owned type of business. I'm not saying one's better than the other, but, you know, I do believe that a business owner does have a right to having this monetization to, you know, an empire that they developed.
Yeah, absolutely. I know if it was my situation, I honestly...
I mean, when you're looking at $100 million...
you might be surprised to hear this, but I'd sell out for that kind of money and start right back up again.
Right.
You know?
Well, like, but it's 60,
it's not like,
you know?
I'd be out of...
At some point, you retire.
Yeah.
Anyways, it was kind of just an interesting topic on what to do. Sierra Nevada, he's passing it on to his children. The Leinenkugel family, I thought was interesting. That brewery was in their family for six generations. They sold to MillerCoors.
Wow.
But now two of the sons are still involved in the business, even though they're, you know, it's owned by MillerCoors. And so they kind of got a payday, but they're sort of keeping a finger on the pulse, I guess.
Yeah, it says here that Miller bought Leinenkugel's back in 1987.
Wow.
So since 87, Leinenkugel's has been under the Miller brand, but the family
Something
is still involved, which
recently,
is interesting.
Though, because I don't know if anybody noticed, it was like a few years back that all of a sudden Leinenkugel's was everywhere.
Yeah,
so
absolutely.
So something happened where there was like a rebranding and a redistribution of all that Leinenkugel's name and whatever flavors, you know.
Oh, and you see their commercials on TV all the time, you know, during football games and all that stuff. I mean, not that you don't see Sam Adams commercials. I mean, Sam Adams has some commercials that are pretty hot time slots, you know.
Yeah.
But
anyway, so I just thought it was kind of an interesting topic for kind of what's to come with all of these brewers. And like, I hadn't really thought about it, but 30 years of brewing, you know, yeah, there's going to be some major changes going on. And so it'll be an interesting time to see what everybody decides to do.
Yeah, I mean, selling to a company like Duvel, I think Caligioni is pretty right. I mean, he's right there. I mean, it's... Duvel's is it's a pretty respected
it's a pretty
company.
Respected beer,
yeah, and I don't know exactly how large they are, how big they are coming out of Belgium, but you know, if they're under the InBev umbrella or what. I mean, I haven't really looked into it that much, but Duvel is one of those ones where you see every once in a while. They're not as big as like Chimay or something like that, but They're pretty.
So it's a pretty regular finding.
Yeah, if you're gonna find any kind of Belgian beer on the shelf, you know, Duvel is probably one of them.
Mm-hmm.
It is interesting, and you know, bringing up the point or the fact that he's old, he's ready to retire, and he didn't
and he's got
have
$100 million in his pocket.
Right, he didn't have any family that was ready to take over the family business. So hey, why not? $100 million sounds pretty nice, you know.
You know, and to kind of speak to that too, it's also hard to find smaller businesses that can come up with money like that to turn it over to, because he's not just going to walk away from it, let someone else just take it over. He's going to want to get something out of it, you know, and, you know, for, you know, I mean, unless you're a $1 billion company or whatever, you know, multi-billion-dollar company, $100 million is not going to be easy to drop.
Well, that's why I wouldn't mind seeing something to the effect of, instead of, you know, a brewery like Boulevard selling to Duvel, maybe have six, you know, 4 to 6 or 8 breweries that are ready to do something like that combine and have more of like an independent, you know, independently owned kind of group of craft brewers that still have that kind of craft brewer, you know, mindset and want to keep the integrity of that kind of thing and still have, you know, that way, instead of these little breweries selling off to these huge, you know, conglomerate type beverage companies, there's still some kind of they'll still have a little bit of power, you know, in that sense, to have, you know, if there's like a handful of breweries that get together to kind of sell, you know, together as opposed to, you know, just selling off to these big companies. I don't know. To me, it seems like maybe an interesting way for some of the older craft brewers to retire in that sense, to become one large company and still take shares of that with them without being, you know, just swallowed up.
I don't know. And Duval just may keep Boulevard doing his thing. You don't know.
It could be.
I think people are just more pissed off because it's a $100 million paycheck sellout thing rather than, you know, it's like, dude, maybe they're still going to go out and do their business.
He worked pretty freaking hard for that $100 million. I bet.
Yeah.
I have no doubt.
The company who bought it thought that $100 million was worth it, and I mean that right there. It says that hey, somebody thought this company was worth $100 million. You know, that's pretty cool.
Good for them. Good for them.
And here's something else that's coming up. It's just kind of, as far as I know, it's pretty new. The first time I saw it was just a GABF. But Craft Fund is a new thing where they're helping breweries to have individuals invest in them. So you can actually buy into, like, for instance, Maui Brewing Company has signed up for this, to where you can, you know, and I don't know exactly how it works because, like,
so it's like venture capital for breweries then?
Yeah, exactly. So it's different than Kickstarter. It's not to get them started, but it's actually for you to kind of go in and be an investor. But I don't think they so much, you know, they're not on the stock market or whatever. It's more for you to be a venture capitalist and just own a piece of the brewery.
Yeah,
we have an interview coming up with one of those guys, right?
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Sweet.
I think so. Yeah, we're gonna have an interview coming up with one of those guys who wants to start up something like that. So that'd be kind of cool.
Yeah.
Nice. All right. And there's this week's Hop Topic, brought to you by craftbeerhound.com, bringing you the best craft beer gifts and accessories on the web. craftbeerhound.com, cool beer essentials for the discerning palate.
We'll be back right after this.
Yeah. Gemini Lounge, a chill new cocktail bar in Portland, Oregon. A gourmet bar food haven with creative cocktails, happy hour specials, drink specials, and great local beers on tap. Don't forget to go to beercoasterspodcast.com. Click on the Gemini Lounge logo and print out your free draft beer voucher. Gemini Lounge is committed to supporting local and eco-friendly options. Local handmade and vintage art on the walls, and even 75% of the building materials were purchased from locally owned businesses. Located at 6526 Southeast Foster Road, Portland, Oregon. Great tunes, good vibes, it's Gemini Lounge.
We've got Mike drinking beer. Let's hear what he has to say about this one.
Aw, yeah. My turn to drink some beer.
Aw, yeah.
Mikey!
Watch out now.
So,
Mikey drinks some beer. Aw, man.
So, I'm going to try Hebrews St. Lenny.
Hebrews.
This is from Schmaltz Brewing Company out of Clifton Park, New York. That's right. They have a brewery in Clifton Park now. They are no longer a, what was it?
Joyzy?
Like a, I don't know. I'll maybe get into that a little bit later when I have more information in front of me. This is a Belgian-style rye double IPA. Their what? Website is www.schmaltzbrewing.com. This is a collaboration beer with the St. Louis Cathedral Square Brewing Company. Hence the name St. Lenny.
You know what, Mike? I think I had this at the GABF this year.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah?
Well, I'm going to have it right now. It's the ABV of 10.
What?
That's right. 10%.
Whoa. 10.
It.
That's
a well, lot. You know, seriously, Mike, coming from Schmaltz, I mean... It's like if it's yeah, under 10% and it's coming from Schmaltz, you got then you're gonna be like, what?
Yep.
These guys and their crazy ABVs and ingredients and
stuff.
Shit.
It is a, it's like a dark honey color, and it actually has that that translucency of honey. Like you can't quite see through it, but all the light kind of shines through it really nice. The dark honey color, there's some. Lacing, just everything's kind of sticking to the side of the glass here. The head dissipated very quickly, but it's got a nice little film on top.
Congratulations, Mike. You're using a clean glass.
Yeah. That was probably the only one, too. So, on the nose, it is... What is that? Ooh, there we go. I'm getting hops and rye. It's a... It's like a grassy kind of hop, a little bit of peppery scent in there as well. Smell kind of some sweetness. Actually smells good. Like it just smell like you take one whiff and you're like, oh, I got to have a sip of that right away. It's not one of those beers where you can sit there and you're smelling and you're trying to get all this complexity from the different aromas and you could just sit there and smell it for 20 minutes.
Yeah.
Like the smell just makes you want to, oh, I just want to drink that right now. It's got like this kind of citrusy, grassy.
Taking a sip. Yeah.
This, well, I've had the Lenny, but I have not had the Saint Lenny. And the difference is that this is a Belgian style. So I've had the Lenny was a rye IPA, and this is basically the same recipe with the Belgian yeast.
So why'd they bother collaborating then if all they did was throw in a different yeast?
Well, I think they collaborated with the Belgian yeast with the St. Louis, the Cathedral Square Brewing Company. They actually got a great kind of West Coast hoppiness to it, really kind of fresh. There's like some dry hopping going on. I just got like just a hint of kind of bubblegum type yeastiness in there, but it's like a Belgian, this is one of the better Belgian IPAs that I've had, as far as that goes, kind of back and forth between the IPA and the Belgian. I wasn't sold on this mix, I think early on as quickly, I think as Chris and Toby were originally with the Raging Bitch, and I think that was one of the first ones, right? That well may have not been one of the first, but it's one that stuck out as far as that style. Seemed like breweries Raging were Bitch. Coming up with the yeah. Belgian IPAs, kind of one after the other.
I mean that in Chris's words, I mean that's where he sets the bar for Belgian IPAs. For me, I don't think it's with Raging Bitch, although Raging Bitch is a phenomenal Belgian IPA, but if I was going to set the bar with Belgian IPAs, I would set it with a little something wild from Lagunitas, because that's...
Oh, really?
That one is fantastic.
I didn't know that was a Belgian IPA.
Huh. Yeah, a little something wild, yeah.
Have you... Can you get Hebrew out
there? Definitely a farmhouse style.
Yeah.
What was that?
Can you guys get Hebrew out there?
Yeah. I can't, no.
Yeah. Oh. I found a few different Hebrew beers out here.
Yeah, Dave, you got me the Sweet 16.
Jubilation. Sweet 16, yeah. The Jubilation, right?
Yeah, I think I've tried that one on the show as
good
well.
Good stuff. I still have a bottle that I'm aging.
I thought I got you one to age, right?
Yeah, you got. You got me two. I already drank one of them. Thanks, by the way.
Of course.
I don't know. Like, I want a burger with maybe some red peppers, maybe some Monterey Jack cheese. Yeah, something like, I don't know, just a more interesting cheeseburger. Something with, I think, the sweet red peppers and the spiciness of a Monterey Jack. I think it'd go really well with something like this. A nice salty kind of burger with that would be very nice. As a matter of fact, I'd like to go get one right now.
Mike's going to get a burger and we'll be back.
Yeah.
Instant pairing.
For ratings, Untappd comes in at 3.73 out of 656 ratings. The beer. You guys completely not doing Beer Advocate at all anymore? Or did we already
do it? I'm not doing anything Beer Advocate related. Sorry, users, but
okay.
I mean, you can give the users
you can Beer Advocate credit. All you want.
Beer Advocate users rate this an 86, which is very good. And the top three places.
But if you put the Allston Brothers rated on there, I'm gonna have some words.
Yep. You have a throwdown, Crazy Dave.
The top place to drink this beer is Tornado in San Francisco, California.
There you go.
Ew. Also, Good Friend Beer Garden and Burger House in Dallas, Texas.
Oh, the Good Friend.
Burger House.
Burger House.
They should have spelled that differently. You know, should have been House, H-A-U-S.
House.
Yeah.
Burger House. Burger House. And the Lauterton, and it's the arts and entertainment. Actually, it's actually a jazz club in Omaha, Nebraska. It's the number three place to drink.
Wow.
Beer.
You know, the last... Never mind. I'm not going to go there.
That's, yeah. That's crazy. I never would have thought that in a million years. Yeah, I can get Hebrew St. Lenny at the arts and entertainment. Or it's a jazz club in Omaha, Nebraska. Interesting. Hmm. To say the least. There you have it, folks. That's St. Lenny's, or also known as the Immaculate Collaboration.
Ooh.
There you go.
And we'll be back right after this.
Reed Carlson says, I always think about my grandmas on All Saints. They'd be proud that I study the Bible, but disappointed that sometimes I do it with a beer.
Tweet of the week, yeah!
Time for some backwash. Let's check the Beer Coasters email and hotline. Yeah.
Gentlemen, it's Rick from the Land of the Ace. Here is a live update of Darkness Day 2013. It is phenomenal. We are getting in line to get some bottles here. Got some kick-ass beers. Had a dumpster fire. Spoke to some clowns that set a dumpster on fire at Darkness Day. Yes, last year. Both IPA with Hoya chilies. Phenomenal. Also had two pints with Damien, the son of Darkness. Anyways, guys, laugh. I wish you guys to be here someday. Take care, guys. Keep rocking.
Back east, we've got Mike drinking beer. Let's hear what he has to say about this one.
Well, hello. Welcome to my bonus tasting flight. I'm here with...
Renee. From Rockport.
Yes. She's going to help me try this Saison, because I've turned her on to Saisons. It seems to be a style that she's fond of.
I love it.
And since we're doing the All Saints show, I had this extra Saint beer from Saint Somewhere. No, that's what it's called, Saint Somewhere. It's Saint Somewhere Brewing Company. They're from Florida. Huh. Tarpon Springs, Florida. Their website is www.saintsomewherebrewing.com. This is a Saison, as I said, farmhouse ale. The ABV on this beer is 7.5.
Woohoo!
And we're going to uncage and uncork it here. Ooh. Ooh, that was quick. It's like the hyper sound.
Nice. <It's done.
laughs> You should hear it through the headphones here.
Here goes mine.
All right. So just pour a little bit in the glass here. Easy. I got about a pinky finger of head. It's yellow. It's
very.
I think the only reason why you can't see through this right now is just because it's cold. Got a little bit of a chill haze on it, but it's pretty clear. Here.
Cheers.
We're just going to smell it first.
Smelling first. Smells good.
Got a kind of a sweet citrusy smell to it. Like a really bright kind of orange.
Yeah.
Yeah? Smell that? Some lemon. There's some kind of spiciness in there, like some kind of herbally spice of some kind.
It smells good. Let's drink
that's,
it.
That's very descriptive. It smells good.
I'm going to try
maybe
it.
Maybe some lemongrass. All right, let's take a sip.
All right.
Oh, this is a
new brewery.
Here's.
Taking a sip.
Got a cleaner taste than I thought it would. It's got a lot of lemon. Don't you think?
Yes.
Lemongrass.
But not too over powerful, like weird.
There's something familiar in there spice wise, like you know, beers like they use like coriander or grains of paradise. There's some kind of familiar spice in there. But it makes it pretty palatable. Like it's kind of light. It's got a light mouthfeel. It doesn't feel heavy at all.
It's true. It's not heavy at all. It's really good. And it's not like some of them are, some of the Saisons can be thick.
They kinda. Can. Yeah, I guess. Yeah, they could be.
Like something. What I like to call chewy.
Yes.
But it's not. It's really good.
Yeah, good job. There's some interesting herbs in there. But there's a lot of that lemon, you know, lemongrassy kind of clean. It's really cold right now, so it's probably got a little bit of a different flavor profile, but because it's this cold, it makes it like a really refreshing beer. Like you want to just keep drinking it.
Is it one of the ones that tastes better when it's warm?
No, this could probably, I think this is probably better at the temperature it's at, because I think it's got a real kind of refreshing, crisp flavor to it.
Well, I'm warming my hand up with the hands.
What do you want to eat with this? What kind of food would you pair with this?
Just maybe like snack barbecue food. Like hot dogs, hamburgers. Like a sunny day kind of barbecue beer.
It is kind of, it does have a very summer beer kind of taste to it. So yeah, I could see that. Some kind of light snack type food. Summer picnic type food. It's kind of weird to be drinking this in the middle of the fall here.
On Halloween.
On Halloween, yes. Yeah.
Oh, even wonderful it's to our, be drinking oh, it.
Yes.
Cheers.
Happy Halloween and All Saints Day, which is probably when the listeners are going to be listening to this. Well, yeah, I'll give you a few ratings that other people have on this. Beer Advocate users rate this an 88. Sorry, Dave, but the Allstrom Brothers weighed in at a 90, which is outstanding. And Untapped. Sorry, I don't have that up there. Saison.
One moment, please, while we access your account.
Yes, Toby, you can edit out the... Let's see. Untapped. It's a 3.64 out of 962 ratings. And the top three places to drink this beer are Little Indies in Orlando, Florida, Kaywood Bus Stop. Really?
The best ever. I want to go there.
I'm going to drink it at a bus stop in Sanford, Florida. And Davidson Beverage Company in Davidson, North Carolina. Well, there you have it, folks. Saint somewhere. Saison Athene, which I don't even know if I said the name originally, but it's Saison Athene. And sounds pretty good.
Really good.
So what do you think? A rating for this beer? 4 out of 5. I mean,
9 out of 10.
We usually do a 5-pint rating system. So it's like, you know, 1 through 5 pints, 5 being the best.
I'm going to say 4.5.
All right.
It's a good beer, like, to introduce
to the
people to craft beers. This is a really good one to have.
And there absolutely. You have from someone who is definitely new to craft beer, even though I keep pushing new stuff on her.
I'm not new anymore. I'm craft beer friendly now.
Yeah, this is really refreshing. It's the only reason I'm not going to rate it as high, because I'm not a fan of that Grains of Paradise or coriander, whatever kind of peppery spiciness that's in there, I don't care for in my beer. And I don't know if it's coriander or Grains of Paradise, but it's something like that. I don't tend to like that spice in my beer. So I'm going to rate it a 3.5. But it's super drinkable, and I'd buy it again, and I drink it in the summertime. But it's just that spice in the beer, I'm just not a fan of. And I don't know which one it is, whether it's coriander or Grains of Paradise. But anytime a beer has that in it, I'm usually not a fan. And I don't know if this beer is actually brewed with that, but it sure tastes like it to me. But without it, the real lemony crispiness of this, I like a lot. Renee's giving me evil eyes. I kind of feel like I should bump it up another half a point.
He will buy this beer again.
Yeah. See? Now I have to. No, in that case, because I'll buy it again, I'm going to bump it up to a 4. Well, there you have it. Saison Athene from St. Somewhere Brewing Company. Thank you very much. Happy All Saints Day, everyone. And hope you enjoyed our little bonus tasting. You can say goodbye too, Renee.
Goodbye too.
Cheers.
Cheers.
All right, everybody. Last call. Last call.
Oh, man. We should have planned that better. That could have been so cool. Yeah.
Let's do that again.
Okay. Well, we still don't know what we're doing. It's not going to sound any better.
You go high, I go low. I don't know.
Just go.
I can't do any of it.
Let's call.
All right, let's just keep going.
No, let's do that. Come on.
Oh, that was good. That was good how we had it.
Dave wants to. Ready?
What?
3, 2, 1. Let's call.
See, I can't.
Yeah, it's worse. I think it was worse. All right, this
it was
is
so
it. This
awesome
is last
the
call.
First time.
Yes,
can't beat it.
All right, speaking of ratings, let's start with Dave.
You know, the St. Archer, I was a little confused by it. You know, to me it seems more like an IPA than it seems like a pale ale, both in color and in hoppiness. That being said, it was really drinkable. Probably even on the the bottle said on the sessionable level. I thought it was a pretty decent beer. I drank the whole thing and actually kind of enjoyed it. I'll give this a 4. It was pretty tasty.
Cool,
sweet. How about you, Toby?
For my Pike Brewing's Monk's Uncle, this was actually very good. I think Pike's did a very nice job with the Belgian style, and I was telling these guys off mic that I think that if they were to add some more hops to it would make an awesome like Belgian IPA style, because the base of it, though, as it is now, is great, but if it was to be hoppier, I think it would be, you know, really, really good. But as it is, I'm going to go 4 pints. I really like it. I would definitely get this again, and I would say, hey, if you're a Belgian triple fan, check this one out. It's a great representation. Cheers
to Pike.
Should always
be a Belgian triple fan. Sweet. So, for my tasting flight, the Hebrew St. Lenny's, a.k.a. the Immaculate Collaboration, and it is from Schmaltz Brewing and Cathedral Square Brewing. I initially wasn't sold on blending an IPA with a Belgian. I didn't think
because you're
those
crazy
flavor profiles would work well together.
That's got to make one gross ass beer.
What?
That's kind of what I was. Yes, I, that's what I was thinking in my head. I just didn't think it was the right combo with my beer. Like I wanted to have them separated.
It's like mixing up your corn and your potatoes.
Sometimes that's good.
That's awesome.
No. Sometimes you want stuff separated. Sometimes you want it all blended up.
Yeah, talk to KFC.
So do you want a white girl and a black girl at the same time, or do you want like a Mexican girl and a black girl at the same time? That
I'll take them all. Doesn't matter.
How about an Asian and a redhead?
Sure. That's probably one of the best combos, now that I think of it. anyway, so I still wasn't really sold on the Belgian IPA, but this beer, I'm converted.
Ooh, look at that.
I'm ready to sell my soul to whoever I got to. This was the best version, in my opinion, of the Belgian style IPA. I don't know what the difference is. I really have to try maybe a few Belgian IPAs like back to back to see why this one works so well. But it just has those flavors. And I talked about it off mic a little bit. Like, I've been a little hop deprived. I don't know if you've listened to the show the past few weeks, but I don't think we've had a hoppy beer for at least
about a month,
maybe longer.
Yeah.
So maybe that's part of it.
Because you've been on a crazy pumpkin kick.
Yeah, pumpkin and very malty beers and ciders. And,
yeah.
It's been a great month, man.
Yeah. Oh, it's been good. Hey, I'm not complaining. I really like this. So far, this has been the best Belgian IPA that I've had. And because of that, I'm going to have to give it a 5.
Wow.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Wait.
Busting out the big
until I have a better
guns.
One. Then I might give it a 5.1 if that's possible.
No.
Got a few shout outs. You want to give the shout out about the, I don't know who we're shouting out. Yeah. The interview.
Who we got? Tony?
Robert Becker from Dream Fund Me. We will be in touch. He wants to do an interview with us help out a brewery in southern Missouri, and he wants us to do an interview with them. So give a quick shout out to Robert Becker from Dream Fund Me. And of course, Rick from the Land of the Ice and Snow, thanks for calling in to the Backwash Hotline. It still works. Backwash Hotline.
Yeah.
Proof. Now we got to get in touch with Beer Coaster Chris, because there may be some issues with our Backwash Hotline. In the near future. We don't know for sure, but we're going to try and keep it
especially
going.
Especially since we put out a big ad saying, hey,
yeah.
drug dial us here.
Yeah. And all our coasters and everything.
I want to give a
shout out to Gina and Craft Beer Hound. Thanks for doing our Hot Topics this week.
Craft Beer Hound, making the promo debut.
And Yatesh Singh, Derek McGarry, Sergeant Frenchy, Ben Bowman, Chris Reed, and Chris W. Thanks for toasting and commenting on Untapped.
I want to give a quick shout out to Tanisha Caravello, Beers, Beards, and Bastards, Craft Beer 99, The Brewers Collective, also Craft Beer Hound. Thanks for following me on Twitter, by the way, Craft Beer Hound. I appreciate it. Main and Mill Brewing, We Know Craft Beer, Full Pint Branders, and Victor Zaidi. I don't know how to pronounce the last name.
Zaidi.
Zaidi.
Just put on your best Schwarzenegger accent.
Speaking of Austrian, or actually in this case it'd be maybe German. I was drinking Weihenstephaner this weekend.
Weihenstephaner.
Pretty damn good stuff. So I want to give a shout out to them and to Christiane for toasting me on Untapped. Also to Philip Murph, Malt Porter, Chris Reed, and Jeff Curtis all give me toasts out on Untapped when I was drinking my Young's Double Chocolate Stout after I was drywalling half of my garage. It's a real pain in the ass, and Chris Reed, you're right, man. It's a lot harder than it looks. It looks simple. Like, what do you do? You slap up a board and you screw it in and it's done.
Yeah.
No, it took all friggin' day. So anyhow, definitely a well-deserved beer. So shout out to myself for getting that done.
Shout out
hashtag
to yourself.
Self shout out.
I'll add to my friend Sean for helping me. So
shout out to Sean. Yeah.
Oh. And And a shout out to Sheetrock brand drywall. All right. I guess that's it.
Yeah.
That's it. There ain't no
Happy November.
All the beers for the All Saints. Yes, happy November. 1st of November, All Saints Day.
Hope you had a good Halloween.
Yeah. Our Halloween was pretty cool. I'm saying that now, but I don't really know because it was actually, it's actually yesterday.
Yeah.
But it's really not for a couple days.
Oh, yeah. And Feliz Dia de los Muertos.
Let's do the time warp again. All right.
Oh, yeah, I got to hear that times today. I started a Monster Mash Pandora radio station, and I got to hear freaking Rocky Horror Picture Show a couple times.
Nice.
What about the it's a dead man's party?
Yeah.
Boingo, boingo. Yeah. Anyway, that's it, folks. Hope you enjoyed the show this week. We'll be back again next week with more beer.
Hey, what are we doing next week?
I don't know. We got to figure that out. I'll be in
San Diego. We might have a mic-less show next week.
Or we might have a mic special show.
Or mic special. Yeah. Ooh, yeah. Mic special.
We're
going to
figure that out. So when I first get back, so I may like figure out how to hook up with Crazy Dave on like Wednesday. We'll figure it out. Cheers.
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 Don't worry, they'll get cut out. Oh, yeah, sorry. Charles.
Cheers.
Oh.
Saints Day.
Pause.
All right, I'm pausing. We'll be back right after this.
I'm craft beer friendly now.
D-I-D.
You guys are dorks.